Morning, folks. My name is Peter Godwin. I'm the minister here at Church in the Marketplace, and I'm here online with you today. I'm so glad that you're tuning in to our YouTube channel. More importantly, I want you to know that whatever your circumstances are during this COVID-19 pandemic, that we care, we're praying, and if there's something that's within our capacity to do that will help you with your needs, then in Christ's name, we're more than happy to do that. We have people who would be happy to pray for you or pray with you or just talk with you for a few moments. So please ring us or email us. Our details are on the website or as part of this YouTube video, and you can check them out there at the end of the message. Well, we've been using Paul's letter to the Philippians to help us think about happiness. If you've got a Bible, then please turn to Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to finish here, even though there's another chapter, and I'm finishing here because chapter 3 is really practical. Paul gives us 5 happiness habits, 5 things that we can do every day. All of these 5 habits will build our relationship with God. All of these 5 habits will help the happiness in our lives to increase, and I pray any unhappiness to decrease. So as we prepare to explore them together, let's take a moment and pray. Our Lord God, you tell us that the world around us will often seem to be confused and without direction. And we see in your character when we first meet you in Scripture that you are bringing order out of chaos. And you continue to do that from the book of Genesis right through to the book of Revelation. You bring order out of the chaos that's in people's lives, that's in the lives of countries, and that impacts in the world around us, sometimes when it comes from natural causes like floods and drought. So, Lord, we pray that you would continue to do your work in our lives. And as we follow you in seeking to bring order out of the chaos that is around us, as we seek to follow the example of Jesus and live lives where we love our neighbour as we love ourselves, and we seek to love you by doing the things that Jesus calls us to do, that you would increase happiness in us, and that would be another reflection of who you are to people who don't know you. So please bless us as we come before your word. Help us to understand it and to put it into practice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first habit that Paul models here is this: every day, relax in God's grace. That's the first thing we need to do if we want to be a happy person, to relax or to rest in God's grace. We don't try to earn God's approval. We don't try to earn his love. We don't try to earn his recognition. We don't earn it. If God is love, then God already loves us unconditionally. Let me explain the main difference between religion and a relationship. Religion is what we do for God, in one sense. Relationship is what God has done for us. Jesus didn't come to give us religion. God isn't interested in religion. God is interested in us having a relationship with him. The Bible is all about what God has done for us and what Jesus did for us on the cross, not about what we do for God. So Jesus said, I don't want your religion, I want a relationship. We will lose our happiness every time we think we've got to earn God's smile. We've got to earn God's love. We've got to do something really cool to make God love us. No, we don't. Philippians 3 verse 3 says, we Christians glory in what Jesus has done for us. Has done, it's past tense. On the cross, Jesus said, it is finished, I've done it all. And we realize, Paul says, that we are helpless to save ourselves. We're not trying to earn our way to heaven. We're not trying to work our way to heaven. We're not trying to prove we're good enough to get to heaven, because none of us is good enough. It's only by God's grace. And we need to relax in that grace. I love the Message paraphrase of this verse. It says, we couldn't carry this off by our own effort, and we know it. So one of the things that will rob us of our happiness, it's the first of a number of traps that I'm going to talk about, is legalism. Legalism is the attitude that we have to prove our love to God. Legalism is trusting in what we do for God instead of what Jesus did for us. Trusting that we have to fulfill rules and regulations and rituals and restrictions in order to prove ourselves worthy. In other words, we think if we just keep the Ten Commandments, then God will let us into heaven. Well, probably we can't even name them, much less keep them. Let me tell us right now, we're not keeping them. We've broken them. You say, what about adultery? The Bible says if we've ever lusted in our heart, that's adultery. The Bible says if we hate somebody in our heart, that's like murder. So we're guilty of all of them, and that's why we need grace. So we relax in God's grace. Paul says in this passage, verses 3 to 6, he says, before I became a Christian, I was a legalist. I was trying to earn heaven through rituals, through my race, through my religion, through rules, through reputation. It wasn't working. If anyone was a legalist, I was. In verse 6, he says, in legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. He kept all the rules. By the way, how do you know when we're a legalist? The telltale sign is this: we're judgmental of other people. Anytime we see somebody who's judgmental of others, critical of others, often the reason is they don't feel good about themselves because they know that they're not measuring up. So they certainly don't want us feeling good about ourselves, and subconsciously they're critical of everybody else because they don't think they're accepted and loved. How do we know we're living by grace? Because we're gracious to others. When somebody is living by grace, they think, God's forgiven me, I'm going to forgive you. God's cut me some slack, I'm going to cut you some slack. I'm getting by on the grace of God, so I am going to give you grace. The more legalistic we are, the more critical and the more judgmental we are. And the more we live by God's grace, the more gracious we are to other people. Legalism will suck our lives dry of happiness. It sucks churches dry of happiness. Ever go to a legalistic church? That church isn't happy. Everybody is just there out of duty and out of guilt and out of shame. But when we finally realize there's nothing we can do to make God love us, He already does, that's liberating. So the first key to happiness, every day we remind ourselves of the grace of God. We relax in the grace of God. In verse 9, Paul says, I no longer count on my own goodness, and I no longer count on my own ability to obey God's law. Instead, I trust Christ to save me. In other words, I relax in God's grace. For God's way is making us right with Himself is through faith. It's not our performance. It's His pardon. It's what He's already done. So we wake up in the morning and say, Lord, I just want to remind myself I'm completely forgiven. What a way to start the day. Do you think we'd be happier if we start every day believing everything I've ever done wrong is completely forgiven? Absolutely. It's a habit of happiness. We relax in God's grace. In the Bible, the word joy is the Greek word chara. And in the Bible, the word grace is the word charis. They come from the same root word, chara and charis. We get the word charisma from that word. We get the word charismatic from that word. Joy and grace go together. The more grace we live by, the more joy we're going to have in our lives. So it's the first habit. Relax in God's grace. In the next verse, in verse 7, we see the second daily habit of happiness. It's this: remember what matters most. Every day we need to remember what matters most. When we get up in the morning, we need to remind ourselves what counts and what doesn't count. We shouldn't be distracted by the inconsequential things of life. What's petty, what's trivial, what really doesn't matter, what's unimportant. Why is this an important habit? I don't know if you've realised or you've noticed how easy it is to lose our joy over the small things. It's usually the small irritations that cause us to lose our happiness. Somebody cuts us off in traffic when we're trying to make a turn and we lose our happiness. Or we're having a bad hair day, or the clothes we put on don't fit anymore. That'll cause us to lose our happiness. It's the little things. Do those things really matter in life? No, they don't. So if we want to be a happy person, Paul says in Philippians 3, we need to remember what matters most. Not worry about all the stuff we used to think is so important before we knew Jesus. So in verse 7, Paul says, all the things that I once thought were so important to me, I now consider worth nothing because of Christ. What was the most important thing to you before you met Jesus? Work, career, making money, maybe it was getting a date, maybe it was being popular or having security. It could be being famous. Paul says all those kinds of things, they're just not that important to me anymore. I'm not running the rat race because even if I win the rat race, I'm still a rat. He says all those things I used to think were so important, being cool, looking cool, having the goods, looking good, feeling good, that's just not important anymore. Because it's not going to matter in the longer scheme of things. How do we know if we've been saved by Jesus? Well, one way we know is because our values change. Because we can't have somebody as big as God in our lives and it not change us. It changes our values. And all those things we used to think were cool, we don't care about so much anymore. Now, here's a problem. When we first become a Christian, we realise that. But as time goes on, the world around us tries to pull us back into thinking the stuff that's not important is important. Like having the newest pair of shoes or having the newest clothes. So here's the trap here. The trap that's going to keep us from this habit is the popular culture around us. The culture around us, because every day there are thousands of advertising messages that say you aren't worth anything until you've got our product. This should matter to you. Even television news makes every item like it's the most important thing of the day. No, it's not. The urgent and the immediate and the relevant are not necessarily the most important. So what we have to ask ourselves is this: how much will this matter in 50 years? How much will this matter in 5 years? How much of what I'm worrying about right now is going to matter tomorrow? So often here in Australia and around the world, we're on trivial pursuit. We're living for things that ultimately aren't going to matter. So to be countercultural, which means we're going to be a whole lot happier, we've got to focus not on what's current, but what's eternal. And we live in the light of eternity and realise that this isn't going to matter in eternity, so why am I worrying about it? Why am I stressed out? Why am I anxious? Why am I fearful? Why am I so uptight over this? It's not even going to matter next week, much less for eternity. So the second habit is, every day remember what matters most. In verse 8, Paul says it again. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's the most important thing, he says. He says, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. Garbage. That's an interesting word, because the Greek word, the translators of that were kind of afraid of telling you what the word really means. Garbage is a politically correct word. It's the polite word. The proper word for that Greek word that's translated garbage, how will I say it? It's excrement. what Paul's saying here is that after I became a Christian, after I began a relationship with Jesus, after I stopped the religion thing and started the relationship thing, he said, all that other stuff I used to worry about, get uptight about, get stressed about, it isn't worth excrement. Jim Elliot, the famous missionary, said, he's no fool who gives up what he cannot keep for that which he cannot lose. So the second habit is remember what matters most. The third habit is get to know Jesus better. I should start every morning saying, Lord, if I don't get anything else done, I want to get to know you a little bit better and I want to love you a little bit more. You and I, we were made to live in a relationship with God. And if I think I can be joyful and happy without getting to know him better, the thing I was made for, then I'm just fooling myself. A lot of us, we've had a taste of joy here and there, and we're reaching for it all the time. Where is joy found in our lives? It's found in the number one thing we were created for, getting to know God a little bit better. Paul discovered that. He says in Philippians 3 verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, so that somehow I may be raised to life. So it's the thing about knowing Jesus. We've got to understand the difference between knowing about someone and knowing someone. Paul says, I want to know Christ. Knowing about someone, I know a little about Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman, about Hugh Jackman and Kate Blanchett. I know a lot more about those people than I want to know about them sometimes. I know about those people, but I don't know those people. I know my family. I know Jan and our kids a whole lot more because I spend time with them. I have a relationship with them. Paul says, I know Christ because I spend time with him. I have this relationship with him. In the Amplified Version, it says, for my determined purpose is that I may know Christ, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more strongly and more clearly. Do you see that phrase, determined purpose? The truth of the matter is we don't get to know Jesus by accident. We don't just wake up one morning and accidentally fall into knowing Jesus better. It's a determination thing. It's something we have to do something about. We have to invest our time in it. Our money isn't going to grow just sitting there. We have to invest it somewhere in order for it to grow. We know that. And our relationship with God isn't going to grow unless we invest time in that relationship. If we know someone who has a strong relationship with God, strong relationship with Jesus, I guarantee you they've spent a lot of time investing in talking to him and letting him talk to them. We don't grow in a relationship without investing time in a relationship. So what's the trap here? We're talking about spending time with someone, so the trap is a pretty obvious one. It's the time that needs to be spent. So the danger, the trap, is busyness. We just get too busy. And busyness destroys relationships. It destroys relationship with our husband, our wife, our kids. It destroys our relationship with God if we don't spend any time with God. Now, it doesn't take a lot of time. We know that. It will just take a few moments of focused time that can make all the difference. I'm not talking about hours and hours. If we spend just a few minutes in the morning, evening, afternoon, whatever is best for you. But in that time, there's something we have to do. We have to not be busy. Psalm 46:10 talks about it. We have, it says, to be still. when we're still, then we know that he's God. The fourth habit that we need to develop is this. Review where we need to grow. We take a couple of minutes out of every day during our quiet time with God and we do a spiritual checkup. We take our spiritual pulse, if you like. We say, Lord, where do I need to grow? What do I need to work on? Where am I weak? Where do you want me to be stronger? A good verse is Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, test me, know my thoughts. See if there is anything evil and wicked in my life, and lead me in the way that's everlasting. It's kind of like a searchlight voice, a searchlight verse in the morning or whenever we read it. Okay, God, do a little heart check right now. Do a little spiritual ECG. Tell me, what do I need to work on today? Where can I keep on growing? I know it takes humility, but it's a habit that will lead to happiness. Because following Jesus is a decision. Justification, we call it. Followed by a process. Sanctification, we call it. The rest of our lives. We can't follow Jesus without movement, without following. So following Jesus is a decision followed by a process. A lot of people have made the decision, but they haven't continued in the process, or they've got stuck somewhere in the process. It's like the mum who hears a thud in the middle of the night and she goes into the bedroom and she sees that her son has fallen out of bed onto the floor and she says, how did you do that? And he said, I stayed too close to where I got in. Well, some people have stayed too close to where they got in. They haven't grown in their Christian life. It's why we need to do a daily checkup and say, where do I need to grow today? Do I need to work on anger? Do I need to work on patience? Do I need to work on getting rid of jealousy? Do I need to work on watching my words? Do I need to work on being more relaxed in your grace? In Philippians 3, verses 12 and 13, Paul talks about this fourth habit. He says, I don't mean to say I'm perfect. And of course he wasn't, because none of us is. I still haven't learned all I should, he says. In other words, he realizes it's a process of growth. But I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers, I'm still not all I should be. That's got to be one of the most amazing verses in the Bible, because it's written by the guy who wrote most of the New Testament. Paul's an older man now. He's in prison in Rome. He's at the end of his life. He's an incredibly mature person, yet he says, I haven't arrived. If anybody had a right to say, I've arrived spiritually, I think it would be the guy who wrote most of the New Testament. But Paul says, no, I haven't arrived. I'm up in years, but I'm still growing and I'm still learning. I'm still becoming more like Christ. I'm not just sitting on my blessed assurance and waiting out the end of my life. I'm humble and I keep growing. What's the trap that will keep us from doing it? Usually it's pride. Pride will keep us from growing. Because when we pretend that we've got it all together, then we don't have it all together. And we already know we don't have it all together. God knows that we don't have it together. Often we're the one who won't admit that that's how things are. So we might as well stop being prideful, because we already know that we don't have things all together. We're not fooling anybody. It's ultimately humility that leads to happiness, because humility makes us teachable. Happy people never stop growing. Happy people never stop learning. Happy people never stop discovering, never stop stretching, never stop learning. If we've stopped growing, I can tell you we're almost certainly more miserable. Because we were made to grow. We were made to learn. We were made to be better next year than we are this year. If we're just coasting, then we're heading downhill. So if we want to be happy, happiness and humility go together, because humility says we're teachable. Where do we need to learn? How can I be a better husband? How can I be a better dad? How can I be a better boss? How can I be a better employer, an employee? How can I be a better friend to my friends? And we're doing this daily habit of reviewing, where do we need to grow? So we relax in God's grace and we let God show us his love. And we remember what matters most. We make the number one goal of our lives to get to know Jesus every day. But during that time, we also say, where do I need to keep growing? The secret to growth is to be honest about ourselves and to keep evaluating where we're at. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Paul says, test yourselves to make sure you're solid in the faith. In other words, we do a daily checkup. We review where we need to grow. We take our spiritual pulse. Don't drift along, Paul says, taking everything for granted. Give yourself regular checkups. You need first-hand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. There's one other habit. This is the fifth daily habit for happiness found in Philippians 3. It's this. Every day, forget what can't be changed and focus on the future. That's a habit of happiness. Every day, forget what can't be changed and focus on the future. Not on the past. Our past is past. It's over. It's done. All the worry can't change the past one bit. So forget what can't be changed and focus on the future. Let me be honest, we've probably been hurt a lot in our past. I'm sorry about that. As your minister, as somebody who loves you, and as somebody who prays for you, I know that many of you have been hurt a lot. I've heard some of your stories about emotional abuse and physical abuse and sexual abuse and financial abuse. Many of you have been hurt in many, many ways, and I'm sorry about that. Nevertheless, something about happiness requires letting go. We can hold on to our pain. Nobody's going to force us to let it go. We can hold on to those memories, or we can be happy, but we can't do both. So we've got to choose. So why don't we choose today? We're going to stop letting the pain of our past control our happiness in the present. We let it go. Here's what Paul says in verses 13 and 14. I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us up to heaven. Focusing all my energies, he says. We only have a limited amount of energy. That's why we get tired. That's why we get fatigued. That's why we get worn out, because we don't have an unlimited supply of energy. We're a human being. And since we only have a limited supply of energy, I recommend we not waste any of it on the past. Don't waste any emotional energy. Don't waste another second of our lives on the past. The past is past. Would you like to change it? Yep. Can you? No. So forget it. We use all our emotional energy on today because that's all we've got. We can't even use it on tomorrow because we're not there yet. We focus all our energy by forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. This habit is so important to our happiness, and there are three traps to be aware of. And we're going to have to deal with these in order to live a happier life. There's the trap of regret. We've got to let go of regrets, that stuff that we wish we'd done differently. We all second guess ourselves. Are there things I wish I'd done differently in life? Of course there are, but I can't dwell on them, because the past is past and I can't change it. It's done, so I'm not going to waste any emotion on regrets. The second trap is unforgiveness or resentment. That's the stuff that people have done to us. We've done some wrong things. That's guilt, shame, regret. And people have done wrong things to us. That's resentment, unforgiveness, and bitterness. Either way, we get stuck in the past. What we've done wrong or what others have done wrong to us. Either way, we get stuck in the past. Holding on to resentment, it doesn't hurt anybody but us. The whole time we're thinking about that person who hurt us so badly, they're out having a steak dinner. They're not even thinking about us, so our resentment isn't hurting them. The only person we hurt with unforgiveness is us. So for our own sake, we forgive. Do they deserve it? No. But do we deserve forgiveness from God? No. Those who experience grace are gracious. We let them off the hook. Why? Because God lets us off the hook. And because we don't want to hold on to the pain, we want to let it go. There's one other thing that's going to keep us stuck in the past and cause us to be unhappy. And this one might surprise you, but it is a trap. It's the trap of tradition. It's the famous seven words, "We have always done it that way." Have you noticed that things change? Every day things change. Have you noticed our body is changing? Not always for the good. Our body is changing, relationships change, the weather changes, culture changes. Everything's constantly changing and we can't stop change. So we have to decide. We can either get mad and resist and resent the changes that are happening, or we can choose to be happy. We'll be as happy as we choose to be. So even in the middle of changes we don't like, we can still choose to be happy. How do we handle change in life? Reveals our spiritual maturity. It reveals how connected to God we are. The more connected to God we are, we're connected to the eternal. So it doesn't matter so much what's changing down here. Anything that's in style now will be out of style tomorrow. One minute we're a hero, the next moment we're a zero. Things constantly change. But if we're geared and guided and anchored to eternity, that's not going to change. If we're tuned into God, change can take place all around us and we can still choose to be happy. And we don't resent and regret and get mad at the changes that are happening. There's no growth without change, and there's no change without loss. We've got to let go of the old and grab the new. A person who wants to grow without going through loss and pain is like a mum saying, "I want a baby," and not go through labour. Every change is uncomfortable in our lives, but we're going to have to forget the past, Paul says, and focus on the future. Every change is uncomfortable, even good change. If we want to be happy, Isaiah 43 says, "Forget the former things and don't dwell on the past. See, I am doing new things." Friends, I pray God will do new things for us as we build these habits into our lives. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, I want to learn to relax in your grace every day, to not try to earn your approval, but to realize you already love me, and you'll never love me any less or any more than you do right now. I want to reject legalism, trying to prove my worth by rules and restrictions and regulations. I want to live by grace, and I want to be gracious to everybody else. Then, Lord, help me to focus every day on what matters most, to not believe the advertisements, to not spend and waste and worry my life away on things that aren't going to matter, even a week from today, much less in eternity. Help me to focus on the eternal and not what's in style. And Lord, I want to make getting to know Jesus better the number one goal of my life. Every day I want to know you a little bit better and I want to love you a little bit more. Please, Lord, show me where I need to grow. Help me to forget what can't be changed in my past and help me to let it go and instead help me to focus in faith on the future and what you have in store for me. Jesus, I want to get to know you. I want to learn to love you and trust you. I want a relationship with you. Lord, thank you for your word that's practical and relevant and points us to a happier life, the life that you want us to live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.